Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And as listeners of this show are well aware, my guests and I take an in-depth look at the human condition, how it often may limit a clear view of our spiritual nature and unlimited human potential, and how we may, through self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions, begin to transform and transcend ordinary, challenging life experiences to reach a level of higher consciousness and awareness, leading to greater health, happiness, and an improved human condition. Today, I welcome Dr. Wendy Traynor, author of The Identity Shift Effect, and her new book, The Gift of Cancer. Dr. Traynor is a social psychologist interested in the area of happiness and helping others understand that sometimes it makes people happy to make others unhappy, and unkindness is an all-too-common factor in our daily experiences, although our hopes are that knowledge can help this trend of unconscious behavior by so many people and improve lives. Dr. Traynor's insights into the art of happiness represents a convergence of science and spirit. Hello, Dr. Traynor. And thank you for joining us.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me on Healing From Within. I've been really excited about doing this interview with you and your listeners for many months now because you have such a big lineup. And here we are.
Thank you for that. In today's episode, we will see how personal harmony can be disrupted by external conflict, leading to a disruption of internal harmony, sometimes leading to what's known as an identity shift or a loss of ourself. And we'll offer ways to maintain balance and compassion, no matter what circumstances anyone is facing, and how to thrive in the midst of darkness, ignorance, or inhumanity. Humanity, in order not to retreat into a world of illusion and denial, but to be in a world of awakening. Wendy, I often ask my guests to think back to a memory or experience in childhood that may reflect the work or values that are important to them now as adults, and which may have been noted at an early age and pointed them in the direction of their destiny or their life plan.
Oh, my gosh. That's an amazing question. So the one thing that comes to mind right now at the top of my head is a report card from a teacher when I was 4 years old who described me, and she said that I was very social, I wanted to help make people happy, that I loved storytelling, and I also loved fantasy, and I am a scientist, so I have no fantasy to share today. I'm sharing with you the truth of my research, the truth of my experience. But since I was a child, it's been noted that I just wanted to make people happy or help them find their own happiness.
You know, many of the people who have joined me on this show were that way. We were like little bubbles of light. And I remember when people used to come into my house, I used to sing and dance and try to get them to smile. But I really wasn't I wasn't very good at it. But
you were wonderful.
I thought I saw a lot of or felt a lot of unhappiness around me, and I also, like you, wanted to get people to see the beauty in life. So let's talk about the concept. This is very interesting to me. Yes, the concept.
I have another story. Can I share one more?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
This is a really good one, and it goes with your singing and dancing, and this is apt. In first grade, when I was 6 years old, I got sent to the principal's office for dancing on my desk. So here we were, little kids, supposed to be paying attention to what we're supposed to learn, and instead I was dancing on my desk. I wanted to dance, and I wanted everyone to see me dance, and I wanted everyone to dance. So
well,
there we go.
You know what, Wendy? I think we were paying attention to the world of energy and a lot more going on than was actually maybe present in the physical world. So that's where that happiness was coming through you and from you in that energy.
Aww.
But let's talk
beautiful.
About for a moment, the concept of the identity shift, which was the concept
yes.
in your first book, which many of us are
yes.
experiencing on a daily basis. You say there are three steps to losing oneself, and we're talking about
yes.
the children that we were, the beautiful souls and children that we were, and three steps to losing oneself. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, first I'll start with that this research came out of my own experience. I had been working in the real world at my first job after college, and I was so excited to, you know, make a positive difference and work hard, and instead I discovered that I was bullied, for lack of a better word, for no reason that I could understand. I was called slummy for living in a lower income neighborhood by a superior of mine, and I was purposely not invited to some company events, and I was, you know, humiliated with the slummy name calling, and I'd been, you know, there were just a whole series of events in this one place where I was not being valued or appreciated for who I am. Instead, it was as if they were trying to get me to conform to a way that was not the way of light and the way of love and the way of the heart. And I, there was one occasion when the superior of mine told me that if I didn't, he said, you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you think independence, or maybe it was individuality, independence or individuality is your right. And he said, you know, if you don't change your ways to become more like them, he said, you're going to be butting heads with top management. And just to make a long story short, because there's no reason to dwell on darkness, I chose to step into the light. I resigned the next day, and I left that job, and I drove miles and miles home to California from this job, and I am so glad I did, because
well, great for you, Wendy. I'm happy you did that, because no one
yes.
should have to give up their dignity and their integrity to be brought
Never.
Into manipulation and a power struggle. If a corporation is running that way, it wouldn't have been a good place for many people. Good.
And for any of us.
Right.
Exactly.
So much negativity in the world, in the homes, in a business environment. How are you going to suggest we stay true to our loving selves and minimize
yes.
that kind of behavior you're describing that could disrupt
yes.
anyone's sense of
yes.
loving? So what can you suggest?
Yes. There are three things I want to talk about. And I want to suggest that, but before I do, I want to provide you with the three-step identity shift so you can know if you find yourself in such an environment, and you can look for the telltale signs of being in a toxic place, and so you know that you do have that freedom to leave. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is just what you said, how we can protect ourselves, and then the third thing I will talk about is how the people who are in a toxic organization, if you find yourself alone, like I did, I felt very alone in a social setting, because it seemed like everyone else, you know, was just, you know, letting darkness happen, and here I am trying to do light and be bright. And when you feel that aloneness, which I too felt, recognize that the people who are silent may have once been like you. They may have once been, you know, joyful, happy, dancing in the light, and then they had turned. And now I'm going to tell you how
well, you
they
mean,
turned.
You
and
mean,
how
Wendy, they
stop.
They buckled under. They buckled under to the paper. You know, according to the Workplace Bullying Institute, this is in your book, 35% of U.S. workers claim they have been bullied on the job. So go on to tell us.
I will tell you now the three steps. Yes, I did. I left three different jobs. And I wish I could claim that quote was actually in my book. It's not in my book, but it's a very shocking quote. It's a very important quote. It's saying, you know, this is not just anomalous case. This is something that's happening to many, many people. And I'm here to break the silence. And I'm here to point to a way out. So, and I'm going to hear Nikki Ware. Here we are. These three steps. Why did angels turn into monsters? Or why are people staying silent when wrongdoing is happening? Why are people just going along with the group when it betrays their heart and conscience? And the three-step process is as follows, based on my research, using the needle and thread of logic to sew together research findings in my field of social psychology into an overarching tapestry of understanding that, believe it or not, mirrors the tenets of spiritual truth. But here's step one. If we find ourselves in a social setting where we are being asked to betray the truth of our hearts, to betray our conscience, to go along with the group, we experience the threat of external conflict for failing to conform, because if we fail to conform, they may reject us, humiliate us, which is a form of public rejection. And that is so painful. Research shows that part of our brain is activated, the ACC, when we're ostracized by a group in a simulated experimental situation. And so we can, you know, infer that when we're being rejected, it's extremely painful emotionally. We may not be able to see the pain, but it's we're wired to experience that as painful. So many of us, though not all of us, thankfully, will go along with the group against our conscience. But as soon as we've done that, not only have we lost ourselves, right, our integrity, but now, worst of all, we have just exchanged, I mean, not only, you know, we're betraying the truth of our hearts, but now we've exchanged external conflict for the threat thereof for internal conflict. Or you could say we've exchanged humiliation for guilt, or differently, you could say we've exchanged social rejection for self-rejection, because now we've just looked at what we've done or what we've let happen. We don't speak up. We're letting things happen that are not okay. And I'm here to kind of show the way and say, you know, even our silence is detrimental.
Of course,
so,
because,
you know, we have to take a stand.
Eventually, what happens with a loss of self-esteem and self-confidence is the immune system and the body start to deteriorate, and this is where disease or discomfort begins. In our interactions and in our not being able or to be courageous or strong enough for many reasons. I'm not judging any of it, but because of that, we are sometimes unable to follow our soul needs, our inner needs, and we do succumb.
Right. But let me just add, you know, you have just pointed your finger to something that I need to really investigate deeply, which or can contemplate, which is the fact that once our self-esteem has been affected, that may lead to stress, which leads to the deterioration in our, you know, bodies, which could have led to cancer and other things. So now we're at step two. We've just exchanged external conflict for internal conflict, guilt, social rejection, however you want to call it, self-rejection, guilt, or internal conflict. And now the most insidious part is, it's so painful to think, oh my gosh, what would my husband think? What would my kids think? What would my parents or friends think if they knew what I let happen, right? And so now we undergo what I call in step three an identity shift, where we adopt the toxic group standards as our own self standards, because now we no longer feel the guilt or self-rejection, because now we're measuring ourselves according to a lower set of standards, and so we no longer have internal conflict, and this toxic group's accepting us for what we've let happen, so we no longer have external conflict, and now the sky is the limit with the evil that we can let happen.
Absolutely. Now, you feel like something at that point has died within you, and that's with cynicism, and you become a totally different person. You can say you adapted, but I don't think you adapted to a good quality of life. What did you do? You used another word before, not adapted, but you...
Conform.
Yes.
You conform to a way of being that is not in alignment with the truth of who you are and all that is. It's against life. It's against love. It's against humanity and dignity. It's dehumanizing, or at least the bullying's dehumanizing, and letting something happen where people are being harmed is really an evil thing.
Now
we need to become aware of this and what we've let happen. And
you know,
we need to take some responsibility. We need to forgive ourselves, and we need to find a way out, and I'll share that with you in a minute. But go ahead, Cheryl.
You know, I've been in situations where this has happened to other people. I'm kind of a strong-willed and very centered person and very spiritual person, and I know my life purpose and plan, and it's very hard to throw me off my game. But I have been in many places where I have seen this type of interaction. And in my own way, I set an example to shift the energy, stood up and helped the other people, and we did not allow ourselves to become, sucked in.
Aligned with dark.
Yes, but it took a tremendous amount of effort and some disappointment on my part at the way people behaved. And even when it was brought to their attention, it was still, it was all about them, and they were blaming this one. I didn't want any blame. I just wanted things to run fairly and honestly for everyone. And that's what we're talking here. Some of us have a sense of integrity and ethics that we will not compromise, and we do help others see how to move forward because of what we will allow or not allow. So I think that's a great thing that you're pointing out here. And we want our children, young children, to start to understand that they don't have to follow anyone else's guidance. Sometimes even their parents and teachers may be giving them information that is not good for their soul and heart destiny. So we want everyone to feel free to move according to their own inner instincts and intuition. But I'd like to ask you, tell us why you feel some diseases are emotional and the body's way to speak its own version of what's going on in a person's life. Because disease, illness is not just about the outside world. It comes from, very often, from within.
Yes. And Cheryl, I will speak to that in just a minute. Before I do, I want to point to a way out for our listeners from these toxic environments. Is that okay?
Yes, certainly. Go ahead.
Okay. So in my experience, the way out for me has been to leave these situations. And I have gone, I have left quietly. I did not confront people. I just left. And you can confront people if that's your choice, because that's the probably most direct way to make a difference. But I just walked away and I said, here's my letter of resignation. And that has worked for me. I'm not saying it's the only way.
Of course not. There's many ways to address these issues. And becoming aware of them is the first step for these changes to happen. So eventually, hopefully, we won't have to encounter these kind of reactions. Now, I know the focus of your research on ethical behavior did cause you to be a little cynical, perhaps, about humanity and your hopes for what you wish to see in the world. As I can very well understand, it brings about sadness because we want to be free. Our soul wants to be free. We want to love. We don't want to be in situations that cause us to have guilt or humiliation. You know, in my book, The Living Spirit, I suggested that what we focus our attention and thoughts on materializes in one way or another. So we are really sometimes creating our own reality, either in a positive or negative way, if we allow fears to overcome our hopes. So we know this as the law of attraction. And like all universal laws, it does provide cause and effect. So we got to come to know ourselves better and to start to be in places where we're more comfortable. And Wendy, you wrote this. Hating my life after reading about a random stabbing in my town, I was having visions. I almost wished it was me instead of the other lady who had gotten hurt. In retrospect, you discovered a great truth necessary for your own personal growth, and this would be for other people too. What did you determine when you were writing about that? What is it important for us to seek?
Wow. Well, ultimately, the thing for us to seek is what I call self-love.
Yes.
Loving yourself as you are, because this world that we're in right now is, in my experience, has tried to beat us down. We're like these little, you know, joyful beings that keep popping up, and it's like someone has a baseball bat and they keep trying to pound us into the pavement. And the fact is, that's not our way. Our way is the way of joy, light, expansion, truth, freedom, love. And it took me to, I had to get to the very end of my life. I was living by, I had a thread of my life connected to the life force left. I was told I would have died in 2 weeks. And it was, you know, in facing my own death, I had the deep knowing or awareness that I had created my own cancer because I hadn't loved myself. I had put the group, even though I had done, good, courageous things, I still had let the group dictate my value. So even if I had, you know, left these toxic environments, there were still people in my, you know, family, bless her, notably my mother, who still never thought I was enough. And
I read in your book that she did come to the front and help you after.
Perhaps
it was your perception at that time. I know you were also a twin, and I have twin granddaughters, so I know that there is a unique bond going on there, and sometimes our perceptions lead us to believe that something is not so, or that a person is just doesn't have the capacity to love us the way perhaps we can love, and we want this given return. So you may have seen that with your mother, but ultimately she did come and help you a great deal.
She came through, and she is my hero because she did save my life by taking me under her wing and nurturing me back to health. And so I love you, Mom. I'm sending this from the airwaves.
Oh,
you are beloved of my heart.
Isn't that beautiful? So, you know, the solution that I gathered from your book is for us as individuals to gather the courage sometimes to exit toxic social environments and join or create unconditionally accepting environments that accept us as we are. And in time, as more and more of us defect from these toxic social environments, rather than find ourselves alone, we will find ourselves with like-minded people, and we will create a better world of unconditionally accepting a social context that supports human thriving.
That's exactly what I would totally agree. In fact, I think you say it word for word exactly the way I've written it. I believe that it's time now for us to defect from environments that don't support life and to come together, because we need to come together and create an environment that supports humans thriving and flourishing, because it is the spirit that we all are that is yearning to be recognized, realized, and lived here on the planet now. May I add an additional point here, which goes back to our beginning discussion about how to protect yourself if you're in a toxic environment? One of the most healing things that I found in my journey has been meditation. I practice meditation almost every day, and what I recommend to my clients, if they find themselves in toxic situations, I recommend that they, meditate every morning. Yoga is a form of meditation. I do yoga and seated meditation. And then if you are in a place where you feel like you can't get out, know that you can, but also know that you can take breaks every 3 hours. If you work 9 to 5 and you need to get your center back, you need to ground yourself in the truth of who you are and all that is, you can do your self-practice before you get to work. At lunch, take your lunch outside the workplace and reconnect with yourself through meditative practice, walking in nature. Maybe if you're in the East Coast and it's cold, maybe you can go to a nice cafe, but kind of immerse yourself in a different social setting, one that can help remind you the truth of who you are and all that is, and all your dreams. You have hopes and dreams. You have something inside you burning that knows what it wants to accomplish in this lifetime. And now, by making these breaks for yourself every 3 hours, you come to realize that the cacophony of the world will fade into the background, and that your life is not about your work for some, meaningless cause.
No.
Your life is about self growth, self-realization, and love, and sharing what you've learned
And Wendy, that's what you just expressed, and it is the truth. It is the dream. We are living the dream of life, and life is a great gift, and we don't need to burden ourselves with these external issues that will happen. We have to see it for what it is, and we have to rise above it. I want to thank you, Dr. Wendy Traynor, for your honest, self-reflective look at how you turned tragedy into a road that brought you to truth, wisdom, happiness, and health. Past cancer, toxic environments, self-defeating thoughts, and to a place where life can be valued and love found everywhere. For more information and to purchase the gift of cancer, go to icanheal.com. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, author of The Living Spirit, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to the experts in the metaphysical, scientific, medical, educational, religious, and the arts share their insights and methods for your personal development and for an improved world community. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.
Cheryl, you are an amazing woman. I cannot thank you enough. What an amazing interview you've just given us. Thank you.